Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. The boys behind the glass were all holding up the four during the break. We're into hour four of, I think, the first ever Junks one-man show.
Yeah, fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. Put those fours up, boys. Thank you guys again for helping get through this one-man show. It's much appreciated. Hope JP gets better soon. I'm not sure who's in on Monday. There's a big, massive snowstorm that's being called for Monday, but somebody will be here is the bottom line. That's the way this works. All right, Scott Abraham, anchor and sports director for ABC7, is now joining us. Scott, good morning.
Cakes, how you holding up, big guy?
I'm doing good, man. Doing all right. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
So, yeah, man.
Obviously, you're following this team as you have been throughout the entire season. Before we talk about this game upcoming and what's going on with Cliff, just give us the vibe check on how much different it is for you and the other members of the media with Dan Quinn in charge, Adam Peters there, the Harris ownership group, how different it is from the end of the Snyder tenure and era here that you obviously covered as well.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun going there every Wednesday and Thursday during the week, especially in December and now in January, to know that there's meaningful football, like there's meaningful football games being played. And that hasn't been the case year after year with the Rivera era. And just to see the players reinvigorated and knowing what's on the line, like you think of the Terry McLaurins, you think of the Jeremy Reeves and the Sam Cosmes that have been through kind of really the dark days, and to see them get the opportunity and get the chance to play some serious football games. They've been a lot of fun to talk to, and they're much more open and willing and engaging. It makes our job easier, and just kind of the culture, the tone, and the professionalism in that building now is such a big change from years past.
You mentioned Reeves. Very cool that he set up the proposal to his longtime girlfriend there at Northwest Stadium. I'm guessing everybody was basically taken by surprise by that unfolding at the end of the Atlanta game, correct?
Yeah, I talked to Revo after the game, and because I was curious, like, would you have proposed if you lost? And he was like, no, dude, no, there's no chance I was going to propose if we lost the game. So it was like a perfect storm. Like, he knew he was going to do it if they beat Atlanta. And he kind of walked me through it in terms of, you know, his now fiance was in the stands and he had to get security to kind of carry her down onto the field. And he had one of Commander's media personnel holding his ring the entire game. And he had it all planned out, and he was wearing hand warmers around his waist in 60-degree weather to kind of hide the ring when she came down. So it was well planned out, and it was a great moment, certainly for Revo and for his now fiance. And what a day for Revo, because you win a football game to to make the playoffs, and now you get engaged. So it was awesome.
So, Scott, I'm on your Twitter, at Scott7News. This is from yesterday. So the big story over the past few days has been Cliff Kingsbury. Is he going to be here after just the 1 year? Because he's going to be a hot commodity out on the coaching market. This offense has been buzzing all season long. Top five in the league in scoring at almost 29 points per game. He said, his quote is, at some point he wants to be an NFL head coach again. What is the sense that you're getting as far as, is Cliff going to be here past this year, or do you think he is attracted by one of these head coaching jobs this offseason cycle?
Listen, I think he's going to be selective, and he has the right to be selective. You know, he's been through it already as a head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. He knows what type of situation he wants to get himself into. And what I really appreciated about Cliff's back and forth with Sam Fortier of the Washington Post during the press conferences, he said he fell in love with football again. He fell in love with the game again coming here to Washington. And this was a perfect restart for him to kind of get his footing and figure out what path and what he wants to do in this sport. And he deserves a second chance. I'm a believer in second chances in any walk of life. And it didn't work out in Arizona, but he's come here to Washington and done a phenomenal job with the offense, with a young rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. He's going to get opportunities. He's going to get interviews. It's going to be up to Cliff to figure out, you know, if he gets offered the job, if it's the right situation for him. Fallback plan here in Washington, not a bad fallback plan where you have a year number two in Jaden Daniels. You're probably going to get more pieces on the offense. Mm-hmm. So Cliff Kingsbury's in a great position, and he's still getting paid by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that. Like you said, yeah, that he can and should be selective. Like, if he's already getting paid like a head coach, like, why would you jump at something right. That's suboptimal? Yep. Like, he can kind of be like Ben Johnson in Detroit, where Ben Johnson, he has his basically pick of whatever NFL job he wants, but he's thriving in that ecosystem in Detroit. And if, like as you mentioned, if there are more pieces and better talent brought in around Jaden Daniels and around who you already have, and you're filtering out some of these one-year kind of cast-off guys, these late training camp pickup guys, like, if I were Cliff, I'd be intrigued by what I could do in year two here in Washington.
Absolutely. But I also look at, you know, let's say, like, the Chicago Bears job, you know, that's opened up. He obviously has a relationship with Caleb Williams, you know, the quarterback there in Chicago. How intriguing is that position to Cliff working with a Caleb? Cliff's not going to leave this situation with Jaden to another team with a quarterback situation in flux where there's a question mark at the quarterback. That's not going to make any sense for Cliff Kingsbury to kind of do a reclamation project with a franchise that doesn't really have an established quarterback. Chicago might be a really good situation for Cliff because of his relationship with Caleb. You know, they worked together at USC for a year. So I'll be curious what other jobs pop up. Maybe Miami if they kind of part ways with Mike McDaniel. I don't know what's going to happen there. But there's some jobs, maybe the Cowboys. Who knows? But I think a young quarterback like a Caleb Williams where he can grow together might be intriguing for Cliff. But like you said, it's a pretty good situation here in Washington with Jaden Daniels because it's only up from here, right? I can't see this team regressing where, you know, you're going to be able to get free agents that want to come here, want to play for Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. They're going to want to be a part of Jaden Daniels and his ascension in the NFL. So I think this is going to be a great situation going forward. And obviously Commanders fans and the coaching staff and the regime here would love to have Cliff Kingsbury return for another year.
So Scott, for the first time in 33 years, Washington is sending their quarterback and wideout combo to the Pro Bowl as Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin get voted in there. And look, I'm happy for Jaden, but you're especially happy for Terry McLaurin, who's dealt with nothing but a revolving door of poor quarterback play since he's been in Washington. And now he finally has that franchise signal caller in Jaden. And he's just got to be looking at the rest of his career like, oh my God, I've got a stud throwing me the ball now, you know, from age 29 until however long I want to play with him. Like, you just feel great for Terry McLaurin. And we're really seeing his potential become unlocked with Jaden Daniels under center.
Listen, he's earned every bit of it because this dude has gone through the ringer with the number of quarterbacks that he's had to deal with, the dysfunction of this franchise, and he's such a good dude, Cakes. Like, outside of the lines of outside the football field, just what he does in the community, how he handles himself, the professionalism he handles himself with the media members, he is a class act individual, and to see him get the accolades and to see him have such a banner season, so well deserved because he works his butt off. Remember, I mean, not much was expected from Terry McLaurin when he was drafted here to Washington. He was going to be maybe a special teams player, and to see him, you know, kind of rise up to the player that he is today has been incredible. I actually talked to Urban Meyer last month because we were doing some conference together, and I was just picking his brain about Terry McLaurin. And, you know, he wasn't highly recruited. He was very low on the depth chart, and he just kept working and working at Ohio State, and he became an integral part of the Buckeyes. So all he does is work, and to have him paired up with Jaden Daniels now for many years to come, and let's hope Washington somehow finds a way to get a quality number two receiver from free agency. That's only going to help Terry McLaurin, because obviously defenses are keying on Terry, making sure they limit his touches, but you bring in a true number two receiver, that's only going to help Terry and the offense as a whole.
Scott, what is your best guess as to how Dan Quinn approaches Sunday's game against the Cowboys? Just a few days ago, people were like, is Dan Campbell going to play his starters in a meaningless game against the Niners? Because everything comes down to the Lions-Vikings game. And he put the pedal down. He played his starters throughout. Goff was in there. Jahmyr Gibbs was in for the entire game. Jameson Williams. Those guys were all playing and played throughout. It wasn't like just trot them out for a quarter to get, you know, to get them some work. They played the whole game. Do you see Dan Quinn doing that with obviously the non-injured players that are going to be out there on Sunday?
They're going to win this football game, Cakes, and they want that sixth seed. They want a chance to maybe host an NFC championship game if, you know, everything falls into place, which is going to be hard to do. But if they're the sixth seed, yes, there's a chance they could host the NFC championship game. They want to go into the playoffs with that positive momentum. They want to continue, you know, in a sense, running the table here these final weeks of the season. It's been a great run from beating New Orleans to beating Philly, Atlanta, and now they want to end the note against a divisional opponent with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think there's some situations they really want to work on. Number one, running the football, right? You can't just totally rely on Jaden Daniels and his legs. Get Brian Robinson Jr. going here. Run between the tackles. Show that physicality at the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the football against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's see what they can do against the Cowboys. And number two, defensively, stopping the run. You have to stop the run in the playoffs. Joe Witt Jr., the defensive coordinator for the Commanders, he's not pleased with his run defense. He made that known during his press conference this week. He wants to see improvement there because running the football is such a crucial layer come playoff time. So running the football, stopping the run, two layers you should watch come Sunday because those are two elements they have to work on, get better come playoff time.
Hey, Scott, behind closed doors, do you think the front office is surprised by the fact that Marshon Lattimore has missed so much time since he was acquired in the trade with the Saints?
Pure speculation, I would say yes, because, you know, I think they brought him in, you know, knowing the contract situation. Yes, he's going to be here next year, but he was supposed to be a guy that really helps this playoff push some playoff time. I don't know he's going to be 100% for a playoff game, Cakes. I mean, that hamstring is just bothering him. He can't stay healthy, and it's a lingering issue. So I think, you know, when Peters acquired him, the expectation was probably to get him on the field in a couple of weeks when they acquired him, and it just hasn't worked out so far. Hamstring, soft tissue injuries, you know, they're tricky. And once you get one and you come back too soon or you do a wrong movement, you can re-aggravate it very quickly. And I think that's what's happened here with Marshon Lattimore. Certainly you'd love to have him on the field, but I don't think they're going to put him out there as, you know, if he's not 100% or if he's going to be a liability. I don't think he's going to play against Dallas. I think there might be a chance, you know, he comes back to the playoffs and see what he can do. But, you know, he played a little bit against the Saints, didn't last long against the Eagles. So I'm not confident that he's going to make an impact this year. That's where I'm at with the Marshon Lattimore situation.
Does Scott Abraham have a preference for the Commanders' first-round playoff opponent? Do you have somebody you want them to face?
Yeah, you guys asked me this last week, and I think they were surprised at my answer. Like, I'm not scared of Philadelphia. I know there's some fans, and I know there's some media members that would love to go to L.A. and try their luck with the Rams. Tampa, get a rematch of them from week one. But I like the familiarity with the Eagles and then, you know, NFC East, physical, hard-nosed, cold-weather football game in January. Line it up and let's see who the best team is. They were winning into the fourth quarter of that first game in Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts was playing. Everybody was playing for Philadelphia. they can go toe-to-toe with this team. You're going to have to beat a Philly. You're going to have to beat a Detroit or a Minnesota down the line anyway. So I'm not afraid of the Eagles. So I would like another – I wouldn't mind seeing Philly and Washington one more time in the wild card round in the playoffs. I think, you know, Dan Quinn knows, you know, what they're going to do. The Eagles know what we're going to do. It would just be a good football game, in my opinion. So they don't scare me. And I would probably go with the Eagles, my friend.
Scott, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon. That's Scott Abraham.
All right, anchor. Take care, Kate.
Thank you, man. Anchor and sports director for ABC7. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Scott7News. When we come back, we'll preview Commanders and Cowboys, give our official predictions, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Caps take on Montreal. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets. We'll be right back.